Republican presidential hopeful Ben Carson continues to defend himself after Politico reported that he had fabricated a story in his autobiography where he wrote he was offered a full scholarship to West Point. Now he says it wasn't a formal offer. In fact, Carson didn't even apply. But he told CBS's Face the Nation over the weekend that accusing him of lying seems like dishonesty itself. He also sparred on Friday with reporters at a press conference.
What you're not going to find with me is somebody who's just going to sit back and let you be completely unfair without letting the American people know what's going on. And the American people are waking up to your game.
And Carson isn't the only candidate accused of lying to or at least misleading voters. But how much do voters care and how much do they blame the candidate? How much do they blame the media? Derek Thompson is senior editor at The Atlantic. He's with us from New York, as he is each Monday. Hi, Derek.
Hey, Jeremy.
And Carson said he thinks that all of this is going to help him. Do voters care about whether what candidates say are true or not?
First, a little story. It's funny. I settled in my chair in the New York studio just now, and I was talking to one of the producers, and they always ask the question, what are you talking about today? Hmm. And I said, honesty in politics, and quickly added the joke, it's a 10-second segment. And he goes, what the heck are you going to talk about for 10 seconds? So a little Borscht Belt humor to get us started. But most seriously, I think that with Ben Carson, the question is, will the drip-drip of allegations that he's oversold various claims in the autobiography, will that be the story? Or will the story be, there goes the media, conducting a witch hunt again against a Republican. And I think a bit of history is useful here. A year ago, the man leading the GOP nomination was Herman Cain. And he was brought down by a scandal in November that ended his campaign in early December. So clearly, there is a revelation that brought down the leader. But this year, you know, there's a cottage industry of journalism pointing out the various exaggerations of Donald Trump, and he's still leading along with Carson. Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton is hardly considered the most forthright politician in America, and she's the odds-on favorite to win the presidency. So it's not obvious here that there's a direct correlation between perceptions of honesty and political success.
But on the issue of telling the truth, you do have some candidates who stand by what they said, even after it's pointed out that it's not the case, and then other candidates who decide that they will admit that what they said was not true. We had Carly Fiorina criticized for claiming in a debate that 92% of the jobs lost during President Obama's first term belonged to women. Those numbers were rated mostly false by the organization PolitiFact, and she backtracked on ABC's This Week a few days later. Here she is.
In this particular case, the fact checkers are correct. The 92%, it turns out, was the first 3.5 years of Barack Obama's term. And in the final 6 months of his term, things improved. But this is what the liberal media always does. It attacks the messenger, trying to avoid the message.
But she did say there that the fact checkers are correct in this case. Does it help or hurt a candidate to do that, to fess up when they were wrong?
There's a difference, I think, between honesty and authenticity. And that might sound a little bit like a politician, but I really do think there is a distinction here. Honesty can be fact-checked. Honesty is statements. Honesty is facts. But authenticity cannot be fact-checked. Authenticity is a feeling. It's a performance. It means seeming real. So if you make a habit out of being wrong, eventually your reputation is going to be that you're always wrong. But every once in a while, I think that admitting that you're wrong can make you seem more authentic. And so this is an interesting way, again, that authenticity and honesty can fork a bit. So I think, to be specific, that a conservative can think that Carson is authentic and not care that parts of his biography are a little bit exaggerated, just like a moderate liberal can, on the other hand, believe Hillary Clinton is telling the truth about her emails, but still say she doesn't seem authentic. So I think that what voters are hunting for right now, particularly as they're still feeling out the candidates, it is not yet January 2016, they're looking for that feeling of authenticity and the sort of fact-by-fact honesty conclusions don't necessarily add up.
Well, you bring up Hillary Clinton's emails. I want to actually go back to an older scandal with Hillary Clinton. Questions were raised in 2008 about whether she had embellished a story about a trip she made as first lady to Bosnia in 1996. She said she landed under sniper fire. Let's listen.
I remember landing under sniper fire. There was no greeting ceremony, and we basically were told to run to our cars. Now, that is what happened.
That sound from CBS News. Now, CBS was on that trip with her and said there was no sniper fire, and Clinton later admitted to misspeaking there. She said, I say a lot of things, millions of words a day, so if I misspoke, that was just a misspeak. statement. But that story is nowhere in this campaign. Do you dismiss it once you come out and say, I was wrong?
Yeah, I think there's like a couple of variables that add up to whether or not a lie, an exaggeration, a small fib, whether it sticks. The first is media attention. It's just simply up to producers and journalists what they pay attention to. But there's also sort of the moral significance of the gap between the truth and a lie. So lying about your marriage or lying about a sexual scandal plays much stronger than lying about whether, you know, there was sniper fire in and around you or whether it was in the hills and far away. The clarity of the lie or of the misstatement can also sort of come into play. Hmm. So I think that it can depend, you know, what fib sticks and what fib does not.
Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic. Derek, thanks as always.
Thank you.